We come this evening then to Catechism number 55. What is forbidden in the third commandment? The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. What is forbidden in the third commandment? The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. We need to remember, of course, what the third commandment is. The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And remember the significance of the name of God is that it is the very revelation of God. This is who he is. And the name of God, we must recognize that this commandment is comprehensive. It speaks about God's name, but also his title and his attributes, his ordinances, his word and his works. It means that we must speak with the reverence of God and of the things of God, who he is and what it is that he has done. Not to take in vain means we are not to lift up his name for any other reason than worship. To lift up his name in vain is to declare him, but if it is in vain, it means we're not declaring him to worship him, but rather we're declaring him for no good purpose. As though his name, as though God himself was a little thing or a nothing. To make light of God, to misrepresent him. It is a sin. It is a sin which is against God himself, but is also a sin against others. Because if you make light of the reality of God, then you declare to others that God is not, that God is a nothing, that God does not matter. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. So that we do not deceive one another. So that we do not deceive ourselves. So that we do not deceive the world around us. So that we do not provoke him to wrath. So that we do not bring condemnation down upon ourselves. Worship. Worship is to speak of the worthiness of God. Worship is to make God known. And it says in Psalm 22 and verse 3, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. We might speak of God who dwells in the midst of his people. We might speak of God who dwells in the temple. But this psalm is very nuanced in what it's speaking about, that God inhabits the praises of his people. It is as his people speak of him and rejoice in him. It's not simply that these words are repeated, but it's the adoration and the reverence and the awe with which his name is spoken. God inhabits that. God dwells there. God is found there. This is where you see God. This is where you know God. You cannot know God if you refuse to worship him. As the church worships with fear, the godless, the ignorant are challenged and are confronted with their own inability to see. There is a sculpture in the Gallery of Modern Art in Edinburgh. And it's of two American tourists, and they're very stereotypically American from a particular era, and now they're very dated. But these two tourists are standing there, and they have camera, and they're looking up. And one is pointing, a man and a woman, and one is pointing up, and the other one is looking. And it's just placed in a corner of the gallery. And if you don't really pay too much attention to it, all you see is it's life-sized, and they're dressed in normal clothing. It's in the corner of your eye, it's not obviously a sculpture. In the corner of your eye, there's two people pointing up and looking. And you want to look and see what is it they're looking at. But they're not looking at anything in particular. Sometimes the sculptures in different parts of the museum. But when you see someone else looking, you wonder what they're looking at. There must be something worth seeing. And when the church gathers to worship God and to declare his greatness, it will be the means that will cause others to wonder. You've maybe heard the anecdote about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, who was known not to be a Christian, but who would go to hear George Whitefield when he preached. And he was asked, "Why do you go to hear George Whitefield when you don't believe what he's saying?" He says, "I don't believe, but he does." He knew that Whitefield believed, and so it enthralled him. And it made him curious to understand what it was that Whitefield saw and what he spoke about. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. Profane. The origin of the word profane means to place outside the temple. What it means is to take something that's holy and to consider it as being unholy. The third commandment forbiddeth not treating the things of God as holy, profaning or abusing anything whereby God maketh himself known. So it speaks first of all about negatively not giving reverence, profaning, or positively abusing or referring to with malice. Let's take these in reverse order. Third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing. The abusing of what God uses to make himself known, his name, his title, his attributes, his ordinances, his word and his works. The most extreme examples, of course, are when the very name of God is used as a curse, as a violent exclamation. James writes in chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, "Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called?" They miscall the Lord Jesus Christ. They aggressively deride him and reject him. And that's all around us today, isn't it? And it's something that's deemed to be more acceptable than using filth words. So you're more likely to encounter it than swearing. And yet the reality is, however horrible swearing may be, that the blaspheming of the name of God is far worse. It's almost the currency of our culture. There are many who blaspheme the name of God without even knowing really what it is they do. They just simply parrot the words that they hear others speak. There's such massive ignorance. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. This is less likely to be found within the church, isn't it? This is less likely to be an issue for you. This actively cursing, using the name of God as though it was a foul word. Even good manners a superficial level would be sufficient to keep you from these extreme expressions. But there is a version of that which is much more common. Not to take the name of God, but sometimes to use words that sound like the name of God. Substitute words. And perhaps spoken ignorantly, not really understanding where these words have come from or what they mean. Someone might say, "Oh my gosh." But when you think about it, is that not just another way of actually using what would be the name of God? It might be considered a soft blasphemy, but there is no soft blasphemy. Friends, we must be so thoughtful in the words that we use, because the name of God is holy. And then the ease with which people will exclaim goodness or mercy or gracious me or good heavens. What are these but words to substitute for the very name of our Lord? If we must exclaim, and sometimes we must exclaim because we're shocked or we don't know what else to say, we must be careful what we speak. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. And if anyone wants to say, but that's just, it doesn't matter at that level, that's just a wee bitty over the top. Is it? Is it over the top to be protective of the name of God? Is it over the top to be concerned about not grieving the Spirit of God? Is it over the top to be careful with the words that we speak, so we speak of him and show our love and our adoration? It forbids then abuse, but it also forbids profaning. It is speaking the name of God without reverence, taking what is holy and using it as though it were not holy. And the most blatant examples of this are found when people simply dismiss and deride the gospel. But it happens more subtly too. When God and the things of God are spoken of without conscious reverence, when no honour is given. And I believe there's a real danger of this in the church today. I believe this is a greater risk to you and to me. Isaiah testifies in chapter 29 in verse 13, the words of the Lord, that this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me. Isaiah's saying there that there are thoughtless words spoken. There is no sense of the holiness of God, that God is above, that God is apart, that God is other from us. To forget the holiness of God, to speak his name with no thought of admiration and love and wonder. We read in Malachi chapter 1, and there the complaint is that the people of God said that the table of the Lord is contemptible. I suppose the question is, did they really actually say that? Did they say that the table of the Lord was contemptible, or is it more that their actions were eloquent of the unspoken words? It was their behaviour. They considered the table of God, the service of God, the worship of God to be contemptible. And that was obvious because of the half-hearted worship they brought. The poor sacrifices that were offered. The sacrifice always was to be a pure lamb, wasn't it? It was to be the best lamb. And yet they gave the lame and the injured and the poor and the weak and the ones they didn't want. There was the formal compliance, sacrifice was offered. Worship was given, but there was no worship. There was no sacrifice. Isn't it true that we can so often just go through the form and the ritual? We can be orthodox, and yet our orthodoxy can be loveless. Again in Isaiah, this time in the first chapter, the Lord says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. What is the Lord complaining of there? Wooden worship. Do you know anything of that? To sit and to speak the words of God as we sing as a congregation, and not to consider what it is that you're speaking or who it is you're speaking to. To do so with no sense of humility or reverence or awe. Not to be lifted up with wonder at the grace of God that you may address the Almighty. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. The answer is not to be found in emotionalism. It's a common counterfeit. That's the excess of the Pentecostal, the error. Where there can be some emotional move, and that emotional move is compensates somehow for this absence of reverence or of awe. And the answer is not to be found in establishing grandiose ritual and tradition. But rather, it is to realize, to see God as he has revealed himself, and to recognize ourselves as he reveals us to be, and to bow before him and to give him praise. That is the fear of God. That is the beginning of wisdom, to recognize him and to recognize us as he is and as we are. The fear of God is not a terror, but it is a reverence, it is a love, it is a delight, it is a willing to serve, to obey. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. We sang in Psalm 78. It speaks there of our responsibility to transmit the testimony of God from generation to generation. And is this not in part how it is done? Through the reverent speaking of his name. That is Catechism 55, what is forbidden in the third commandment. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. And very briefly, I want to touch on Catechism 56. What is the reason annexed to the third commandment? The reason annexed to the third commandment is that however the breakers of this commandment may escape punishment from men, yet the Lord our God will not suffer them to escape his righteous judgment. What is the reason annexed to the third commandment? The reason annexed to the third commandment is that whoever the breakers of this commandment may escape punishment from men, Yet the Lord our God will not suffer them to escape his righteous judgment. Remember what the commandment said? The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The consequence of taking the name of God in vain is that judgment will follow. Now, sometimes, in our own society, there's talk of blasphemy laws. That's the influence of the gospel in the past has resulted in there being a blasphemy law. It's not that the state is able to police the private speech of every individual or the private thought of every individual or their integrity when it comes to worship, but rather that the state recognises that it's against the common good where there is aggressive public outrage against God. And so there is a role for civil government. But what is spoken of here is ultimate judgment. Because it's quite possible, it's quite normal, that blasphemy is not dealt with by civil government. And nor can it always be dealt with by the church. Because the church cannot police your thoughts. But is dealt with by the Lord. The Lord our God will not suffer them to escape his righteous judgment. God's judgment comes in two forms. That is, in time and also in eternity. And one of the fearful consequences of blaspheming the name of God is this. It becomes normal. It becomes less shocking. One's heart becomes hardened to it, the conscience becomes numbed, and there is no trembling, and there is no sense of the holiness or the greatness of God. Blasphemy will harden your heart and will establish you in a road that leads to destruction. Sometimes we say, don't we, there's no fear of God today. We try to explain the chaos of our society and we say there's no fear of God. There's no restraint because people have no realization or awareness of the fact there is a God and judgment is to come. And that is in part because of the way that God's name is so freely abused. That his name is no longer considered to be the name of God, but simply a word. And so there is no fear of God. But then there is the ultimate judgment, the final judgment, that those who ultimately live their lives profaning or abusing and who never turn and repent from that the Lord will not hold him guiltless, but rather will visit them in judgment and with justice. The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The answer is not to be silent. The answer is to speak the name of God with your eyes open. To speak with your eyes open. What I mean is to see what it is that you are saying, to understand. And to pray that the Lord would give you understanding and to speak carefully. It is a sin to hold up his name and not sincerely honour him. But it is also a sin not to hold up his name. You must speak the name of God with reverence. Amen.